Number six, journey with Jesus. We're in this series of journeying with Jesus. Do you know that, like, salvation isn't the journey? Salvation is the beginning point. It's A on the map, or X, you are here. It should be the starting point of our journey with Jesus, and it should be a place that we grow and develop from. And hopefully our journey looks like this all the way, but there's going to be some up and down in the middle of our journey, and it's not always a smooth ride. It's not always like we anticipated the journey would be. So today, journey with Jesus number six, we're calling it persistent love. God has persistent love for you and I. He has loved us from the beginning. He will love us until the end. He loves us without borders or boundaries. He loves us without prejudice or discrimination. The Word of God tells us He so loved the world, meaning all of humanity, the human race. God loves so much. And He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our job as Christians or followers of Christ, as sons and daughters of the Lord Most High, is to reflect or show His love to those around us. And do we do that well? And as we journey with Jesus today, we're going to look at how He tells us to do that in a passage of Scripture. And just one of the many ways how we do that. But before we get into it, the road is not always easy. I've spent the last 25 years taking guests into the mountains of Idaho on backcountry excursions and adventures. And some of our most remote places, we say it takes planes, trains, and automobiles to get you there. And for most of them, they start in Lewiston at the airport. Of course, they have to get on in their home city or nearest airport, fly on the plane, and then we have a shuttle that picks you up in Lewiston, brings you to the lodge where you stay the night if you're going to the backcountry. And then the following morning, you get in a vehicle and travel into the mountains, and it can look several different ways. And then eventually maybe get on snowmobiles or ATVs, and then eventually horses or hiking. And it's a journey. But for some of the people, between the Lewiston Airport and here is a beautiful scenic ride. It's gorgeous and like they've never seen before. And how do you guys get the water so clear? It's like maximum filtration system. It's called the Rocky Mountains. Like, we don't. It's just natural. Like, God did that. But for people who have never seen it or from the south or the east where everything's like, if you can see your hand at 6 inches, it's clear and good. Like, I'm like, I can't even swim in that stuff. Like, our cattle ponds are cleaner than that. And after you swam in the clear water, the Lhoxar, the Selway, it's hard to jump in a muddy river. It's really difficult. But for some people, that journey from Lewiston to Kamiai is beautiful and gorgeous and amazing. For others, it is terrifying. There's no guardrails. How do you stay on the road? Well, like every other road, keep it between the mayo and the mustard. Like, don't cross the white line, don't cross the yellow line. Keep it in between, right? Like the guard. How many of you have hit the guard? No, never mind. That's telling on yourself. Like, the guardrail isn't there so you can bounce up against it all the time and stay in the road. It's really probably there for mentally, it helps me be comforted and at peace. For some people, it doesn't even do that. We've had guests arrive and they were terrified, like, is there any other way to get back to the airport? Is there another option? We're like, yes, but you probably won't like it any better. There's another road. We can take you up the old Nez First Grade. And then we leave the lodge, and one of our camps is about a 3-hour drive into the mountains. The first 50 miles takes about an hour. The second 20 miles takes about an hour. The last 10 miles takes about an hour and a half. Unless you're really driving fast, you can do it in 3 hours, but you're pushing it. And then at the end of that 3-hour drive, We set you up in a saddle and get it measured and sized up to you, and then we put you on a horse, and then we ride you 2 hours into a camp. For some people, it's amazing and wonderful, and wow, what an experience. I want to do it again. And they're all going there because they love the outdoors. They love the adventure, the outdoors. They have this persistent love. And I will overcome my fear of Highway 12 and travel to the lodge so I can get to the mountains of Idaho. And I will overcome my fear of Arby's driving through the mountains to get to the trailhead, to get on the horse that I'm scared to death of, but they told me the last guy didn't die. And I will overcome all of that to get to my love of the mountains and the scenic beauty. In our walk with God, in our journey with Jesus, it's like that. Sometimes we have to overcome a few things to get to our one true love, our Lord and Savior, to spend time in his presence, to get from A, salvation, to B, eternity. It's like this. It's a roller coaster of emotions, of scenarios, of circumstances, of events in our lives, some seen, some unforeseen. But how do we do it? Journey with Jesus. He says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He says he's always there for us. He's never let us down. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 28. Matthew 16, 21 through 28. We're going to read the whole passage, and then we'll come back through and pick it apart. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." That's a tough passage, a challenging passage. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And all that that means, that can be your Highway 12 of fear and danger and fright. Can be your Highway 12 of scenery and beauty, depending on how you look at it. In verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began explaining to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for his death and resurrection. Of course, being on that side of the cross, they have no idea what he's talking about. Like, has anybody checked Jesus' temperature lately? He seems a little confused. He's kind of talking strangely and like, what's he even saying? For us, it's easy. Oh, yeah, he was talking about his death on the cross and resurrection. It all makes sense. But for his disciples in that moment, it's like, what is he saying? So Jesus is still explaining things to us today. He's still speaking to us. And for us, we're in that same window the disciples were in, of it's still strange and foreign to us today because it hasn't happened yet in our life. So we don't quite get it and don't quite understand. But do know that Jesus is still speaking today. He's still ministering to us. Are we listening? Are we trying to grasp a hold of the concepts and ideas he's placing into our life and preparing us for the next season of our life? Because that's what he's doing in this moment with his disciples. He's trying to prepare them for the season without him. Trying to prepare them for the sorrow and grief they're about to endure. He's still preparing us. Preparing us for what lies ahead in our lives. Are we listening? What is he trying to tell you? Does it make sense? Sometimes it makes sense. If we had more time, I could tell you lots of stories about times I thought I knew what Jesus was saying and I was way wrong. But after it happened, it made sense. But in the moment, I'm going, what are you up to, Lord? And I just had to move forward in faith. And like, I don't understand, but I know you know, God, and that's good enough for me. So I'm going to walk forward in the last thing I know you told me to do until you tell me to change or I see something happen. Know that things won't always make sense, but Jesus is always trying to prepare us for the next thing ahead. Verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. We think that we know best. Anybody else guilty? Don't worry, God, I got this. You sit this one out, Lord, I got it. We're still doing what Peter did. Like, Jesus, like, you don't know what you're talking about. Just simmer, I got this. We still do this. We lack understanding and we argue with God. It's just part of the journey. Part of growing and developing our faith and our trust in who he is. And maybe at the beginning of our journey, it was a 10-point argument in our conversation with him. And hopefully a few years down the road, it becomes a 5-point argument with him. And hopefully a few more years down the road, it becomes a 1 or 2-point argument with him. And hopefully, this side of heaven, we get to the point to where it's no longer an argument with him. It's, I'm your servant, Lord. What do you need? I don't understand it and I don't get it, but I'm willing. Verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. How many times do you want to hear that from Jesus? Get behind me, Satan, which in this passage is a Hebrew word that also means adversary. So he's not actually calling Peter the devil. He's just saying, you are against my will. You are against the kingdom of God and what you are currently saying, Peter. Don't stand against the will or plans of God. God's plans versus our ideas of his plans. He's always right. I always need to adjust my will to his. There's never a moment when I'm right and he's wrong. I'm always the one that needs to adjust my thinking, my thoughts, my ideas to the will and plan of Heavenly Father. He's always right. He always has a great plan. The process might not look good getting there. It didn't look good for the disciples when Jesus went to the cross, but God had a plan for his kingdom, not of our kingdom. In this moment, Jesus is the promised Savior. They've heard the prophecies told for centuries, hundreds of years. It's been around the campfires, around the dinner table. There's a Messiah coming, a Savior of the world. Finally, Jesus arrives on scene. We have the Savior, the Messiah. And for them, it was going to be, because all they knew was, like, you build an army in power and authority, and you go take over and conquer. And so they expected this mighty warrior king, Jesus. to come in and put on the armor, to ride out on a horse with the sword and take over the known world and be the savior of the world. That was their idea and their thinking and their time and how things were done. But Jesus is like, I got a whole different plan of what this is going to look like. I'm going to save the world, but it's going to be through my blood and my death on the cross and through my resurrection. Sometimes in our lives, Jesus is doing something that doesn't make sense to us. We have this idea of what it's going to look like, and it's totally different because his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are my thoughts. His plans are not my plans. And he is so much higher than I. I have to submit to, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you. So whatever you're doing, Lord, I'm submitting my will to yours. They were seeing Jesus as this warrior king. That's why they were having the hard time understanding, why are you going to get killed and persecuted? And it's not making sense because you haven't done what you came to do yet. You haven't saved the world. Know that for us, it doesn't need to make sense. Don't have in mind the concerns of human, but have in mind the concerns of God, what his plan and will are in your life. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, and I like this story is in Mark also. I like Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it starts out, Jesus summoned the crowd along with his disciples. So this wasn't just for his disciples. This was for the crowd, for all. So this whole passage is for all of us, not just his 12 disciples. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's a lot to swallow. Deny myself, take up my cross, and follow. I want to be the leader. Anybody ever play follow the leader? What position did you want? You want to be the leader. I still play with my daughter, and she always wants to be the leader. I let her sometimes. Disciple of Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple. Disciple is to be disciplined under the teacher. Disciple means discipline. Discipline is daily habits. Small things you do repetitiously day after day after day after day. Motivation, inspiration, they can give us a shot, but they won't hold us where discipline can. It can be good. In a couple of weeks, we have the alumni game over at Clearwater Valley. There's going to be a bunch of us that are motivated, and we've been out of school a while. We're going to be motivated. Yeah, it's going to be great. About a minute and a half into the game, we're going to lose motivation. And probably 100% of us have not been disciplined into conditioning and practicing for basketball day in and day out for the last 6 weeks. In our spiritual life, it's the same way. You can get some motivation and inspiration to get you going. But if it's not followed up with discipline, you won't have what it takes to carry you on the mission God's sending you on. Discipline spiritually looks like daily meditation on the Word of God, spending time reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer, communing with the Father, spending time in relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Those should be daily and weekly disciplines in our lives. Something we do regardless. Lord, I'm getting up and spending time with you. Lord, I'm getting up and reading your word. Lord, I'm getting up and spending time meditating on your word. Lord, I'm getting up and spending time in silence, just listening to see if there's anything you want to say to me. Those are disciplines. It's easy to hear a good message and get motivated. It's going to be fantastic. It's tomorrow. I lost my enthusiasm. If you look at the Kamei Cup boys, they've been conditioning and disciplined. And they just earned rite of passage to the state tournament through a game they won yesterday. I can keep up with them for 30 seconds, but I can't do four quarters with them at their pace. I'd be like, medic! But they've disciplined, they've trained, they conditioned to go on their mission to state. God is calling us on mission each and every day of our lives. Maybe it's in the workplace. Maybe it's in the place of our hobbies and recreation and enjoyment. Maybe it's in our home. Maybe it's in our church body on the hospitality team. That one's free, Melissa. Just a plug for serving on the hospitality. Serving is easy. Serving in the church is easy. Hospitality is a spiritual gift. How you treat people, how you receive people. You don't have to be up here speaking every Sunday. It's really easy. You can give out food at the food bank. Huge serving ministry, meeting the needs of our community. You can work at Loving Hands, helping process goods to get goods back out into our community at a greatly reduced price for where they could get it anywhere else. Meeting the needs of our community. So many opportunities to serve Jesus here in our valley. Or you might be called on mission to foreign countries or maybe just foreign places in the U.S. like Portland, Seattle. They're just big cities, that's all. Just big cities. Where are we at? Right there. Discipline. Deny yourself the willingness to suffer. Denying myself the willingness to suffer. Excuse me. We deny ourselves our rights. You know, Jesus denied his rights when he went to the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. He said, God, just wipe these guys out. Just take care of it. I want to get back to my garden and pray. He denied his rights to go through with the mission that God had called him on to get to the cross. We deny our peace sometimes. I promise you, going through the beating, the trials, the false accusations, the disciples abandoning Jesus, he wasn't at peace. He denied his peace to go through the suffering that would bring us salvation. Sometimes you have to deny your peace to help somebody out in a hard spot. Do you deny yourself your right of peace to help somebody else? Because that's what Christ did for you. Sometimes we have to deny our comforts, maybe even deny our location or a job that we love. What is God asking you to deny for his purposes and his glory? That could be as simple. Today I had to deny myself to sing and worship, so hopefully I can get through this message because my voice is right at the end of itself. I love to sing and worship. I love to lift my voice to God. And Michael picks some of my favorite songs. I'm like, I could wring your neck right now. But I can still dance. I can still raise my hands and praise my Heavenly Father. Worshiping God isn't just my voice. It's in my actions and how I treat people. It's how I act obediently to his word and his call on my life. And it should be a daily exercise that I worship God daily with what I'm doing with my life. I worship God daily through my actions, my deeds, my words spoken, my thoughts that go through my head. It should be a lifestyle of worship. Denying oneself might be denying yourself a meal because you know someone's in need. Like I could skip a meal to go help them out. I could use to skip a meal or two. But some of us would say, no, it's time to eat. I'm not missing a meal. Somebody else will help them out. You don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes we're that petty. Sometimes we're that small. But maybe it's to deny, God, I have my dream job. God, I have my dream house. God, I live in the best place in the world. I live in the Clearwater Valley. And God's saying, I want you to deny yourself that and go live in Israel for a year. Or what's he asking you to do? Maybe like Randy, I want you to deny yourself all these luxuries of America and move your family to Malaysia for 25 years. That's a pretty big denying of oneself. Some of them are daily, small, minute. Deny yourself. For me, to deny to sing so I could speak the word of God that he's called me to deliver to you today. It's really small. But it's discipline. Those each and every moments of discipline in those small moments, those disciplinaries. Don't drink Mountain Dew when you're in basketball. Some of them still do it, or Monsters or Red Bulls or whatever they're drinking these days. It's like you just shouldn't do that stuff. If you want to be a peak performance athlete, there are things you have to deny yourself daily. In our spiritual life, it's the same way. There's small things and there's big things. God will ask you along the way. We have a long ways to go on this message. This might have to be a part two next week. Would everybody be okay with that? Amen. Please, yes, say amen, Pastor. All right, I'll finish in verse 24. My point's in verse 24. Then we'll pick up next week. We have to take up our cross. The cross for them was, they generally made the criminal carry their cross, or at least the cross member of the cross across their shoulders, march them through town, public humiliation, up onto the hill, where they would then fasten it to the upright with the prisoner on it. A horrific way to die. The most, thought to be one of the most gruesome and horrific ways to die of that time, was to be nailed to a cross, left there to hang, to die, to actually through asphyxiation, because eventually your legs would give out and your arms would give out and it would pull your lungs together until you couldn't get a breath again. Very slow, very painful. Ugh. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Now, Jesus is saying, take up your cross and follow me. I'm out. Yeah, I'll do the deny myself stuff, but take up my cross and follow you. And meanwhile, Jesus is doing it being sinless. There was no sin in him, meaning he did it with you and I in mind. He did it to carry the burden of our sin. He did it to carry not his load, but our load. He did it to carry not his shame and guilt, but our shame and guilt. He did it not to carry his addiction, his abuse, his sufferings, but to carry ours. He had us in mind when he did it. So he's asking us to do this for others. Have you ever had to step in and help someone in need and they just couldn't do what they needed to do on their own? And you said, I'll help, I'll do it. That's taking up your cross and following him, taking on someone else's burden that is not your own. Sometimes it comes with false accusations and injustice. Jesus was falsely accused. There was lots of injustice happening in this moment. But God had a bigger plan. It was for you and I, that we may have eternal life. The last piece of 24, follow. He asked us to follow him. To follow him means to obey him. Do exactly as I say or do or command. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he's praying. He knows this is going to be horrible. He feels it building, praying so fervently that his sweat was as great drops of blood. That's some serious prayer time. And he feels the weight of it coming upon him, a spiritual cross member, if you will. He says, Lord, if it's possible, may this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. He's like, I don't really want to go through this. It doesn't sound exciting or fun. It's not going to make me happy. God isn't about you and I being happy. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord, but that's not happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. If you do what I like, what I want, when I want, I'm happy. God can give you joy in your sorrow, in your mourning, in your hurt, in your pain. To do the will of the Lord is a joy, even if it comes through great suffering, like Christ asking us to pick up our cross. A couple insights to the cross as we close today. To endure the cross is not a tragedy. It is the suffering, which is the fruit of exclusive allegiance to Jesus Christ. When it comes, it is not an accident, but a necessity. The triumphal entry, as Jesus is coming into the town of Jerusalem, riding on the back of the colt that had never been ridden. And they're laying their garments and the palm leaves before him on the road in honor and celebration and singing, Hosanna, praise be to God. Jesus came in and was fully present for the celebration, knowing that in a few days' time, the same crowd would be saying, release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. Knowing that this crowd would turn on him, knowing that his 12 closest friends would betray him and leave him alone and run and hide and abandon him. Knowing that one of his 12 that walked with him daily would betray him unto death. What does it look like to carry your cross? Even knowing such things about those around you, persisting in love as Jesus did. As we journey with Jesus, persist in love. That's what Jesus was doing in these moments. Jesus knew they would reject him, yet stayed fully present for the party. Stayed fully present in the celebration, knowing what would come. Jesus permitted the crowd's support, knowing it would soon sour. Jesus still lovingly and fully affirmed Peter's future leadership immediately after the prophecies of Peter's denial. Jesus still welcomed Judas to the communion table, knowing that betrayal was in his heart. Jesus did not emotionally self-protect. His love did not shrink back. Love needs time to grow before it has the strength to go where Jesus is calling you. Our love needs time to grow. I have a much greater level of love now than I used to have. Much stronger love than I used to have. But it takes time to grow and develop love, to do what Christ is calling us to do, to get to this point of Jesus going to the cross, saying, you're gonna betray me, you're gonna abandon me, you're gonna sell me for 30 pieces of silver, you're gonna say, crucify me, you're gonna say, crucify me, but I love you. I'm gonna do it for you, even though. I'm not there yet. I still have some prejudice once in a while. I still have some issues inside of me that I need to work. I have my hot buttons. I have my soap boxes. Doesn't affect that I love Jesus, but it says I still have some Arby that needs worked out of me that I need to deny so that I can pick up my cross and follow him. It means I'm on my journey. I'm getting to where he wants me to be, and I'm a lot further along now than I was 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Jesus doesn't just come in with a magic wand and say, poof, it's done. It would be nice. I'd like stand in that line. Because then I don't have to go on scary Highway 12 and ride scary horses through mountains with big sharp drop-off cliffs into rocky bottom creeks. I don't have to run into bears and bumblebees along the way and have horses buck and scream through the woods. I've never ridden in an arena, but I've had lots of rodeo in my life. That's our journey with Jesus. Sometimes we have to pick up the pieces and put it all back together and get moving again. But sometimes it's smooth and beautiful sailing, and oh my goodness, it's gorgeous. Enjoy it all. Enjoy what the Lord has set before you. Deny is translated from this word, I'm probably going to butcher, aperinemi, which means to claim no knowledge or relationship to. When Jesus was telling Peter that he would disown him three times, this is what he was telling him. Peter, you're going to say that you have no knowledge or relationship with me. That's complete, utter denial. To deny ourselves is to, I'm going to have no relationship with who Arby was as a human, but total relationship with my Lord and Savior, and act on his behalf and in his strength and power and might. Deny myself or deny Jesus. Remaining neutral is not an option. We have to choose a side. If we're not denying ourselves or denying Christ in us, but if we're denying ourselves or accepting Christ in us, what will you choose? The cross is the ultimate call to decrease. The cross is not a call to forget our own names, but to live and die for a name of another. The cross is a call to renounce self-direction and shift leadership loyalties from ourselves to our Savior. The call to take up our cross and follow Jesus is big, and it takes a journey with Jesus to get there, because you can't do it alone. You need the fruit of his Spirit to grow and develop in you. So I'm going to go to Sunday school next week and learn about that with the kids and do scavenger hunts. Somebody else is up here. I'm just kidding. Although it sounds like fun, but we need Christ to grow and develop in us so we can do all things that he has called us to. And it starts with persistent love. Daily grow in love. Let that be a discipline of your life. How do I daily grow in love? How do I daily engage in relationship with my Heavenly Father? So we'll pick up there next week. How do you persist in love? Go and persist in love as you journey with Jesus. Keep growing and developing into the men and women he's called you to be. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll get to closing announcements here. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you are so patient, God, as we grow and develop. God, into the men and women you've created us to be. God, we are so thankful that you are forgiving, and that your kindness leads us to repentance, God, that you give second chances. And Father, we just ask that you would, God, draw us into the journey with you. God, that it would be exciting, that it would be adventurous, God, that it would, God, be engaging as we press into you. God, that we would have your persistent love, God, flowing out of us to those around us. God, that they would see your good work in us. God, that you may receive all glory and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.